Alright, so to start it, we're here today. This is called the Feast of the Transfiguration. It's celebrated on August 6th every year. And every 6 or 7 years, depending on the leap year, it falls on Sunday. So it kind of co-ops everything else. And it's an event that happened in the life of Jesus toward the end of his ministry. And he goes up to a mountain of bread. And Peter and James and John go with him. Now you know Peter, James, and John are his inner circle. These are his best friends. This is his executive committee. And there's 12 disciples. Peter, James, and John are people that he's really close to. When he first Peter, you know, he's already told Peter, Peter, on your faith, I'm going to build my church. You're going to be the rock. You're going to be the rock of my church. And so Jesus goes up on the mountain of bread. And when Peter and John, James and John, while he's praying, his face changes. His confidence, I like to say, he began to shine. Now, that happened before. We read it on in Exodus, the Old Testament. When Moses went up to be with God, his face changed so much, and he was shining so much that people couldn't stand to look on him. So he had to put a veil over his face. I love that story. Moses walking on the rest of his life with a veil over his face because he was with God and it was too bright for people's eyes. Just the reflection of God was too bright. Jesus grows up and he experiences the same thing. And there appear in this experience that Peter, the inner circle that Peter, James, and John had, and then it says they were very sleepy, they were heavy to sleep. Have you ever had that? He just forced himself to stay awake. Thank God they did. Because they see Moses again and Elijah, the prophet, Elijah. Moses was the lawgiver, Moses was the person who led the people of Israel out of captivity in Egypt to the promised land. Moses, if there's any Hebrew in the Old Testament that symbolizes the Old Testament, you go to Jewish synagogues, what do you see? You see Ten Commandments or a burning bush. Those are the only symbols that put in Jewish synagogue. And the Old Testament with Moses, a lawgiver. He's the one who brings God's law, God's will to the people. And so what Moses I get, when he's a symbol of the Old Testament, law, why, in life? Well, he was a great God. Maybe the greatest God. But it was taught that Elijah was going to come again. Peter began and tell the people who the Messiah was. Well, Jesus is the Messiah. So, of course, Elijah is there present. But if you have a custom, we do not, and we set a chair at a table for the unseen guest. And we say, that chair is for Elijah. That chair is for Elijah, and hope. He comes and tells us that Jesus is coming again. So they see this. They see Jesus transfigured. They are surrounded by the cloud. But the cloud is called in Hebrew Shekinah or Shekinah. It's glory cloud. When it comes down, you are in the glory of God. You experience the presence of God. Those who had an experience, sometimes a whole church or a whole group, experienced the Holy Spirit in such a way that said, and the glory of God came upon us, the glory of the Lord shone upon us, the Shekinah. shining glory is with us in that moment. In that moment. And I hope for you that that happens. I hope it happens many times. It's happened to me once or twice. And then the disciples are so transformed. They see Jesus transfigured into his glory, the way he's going to be forever and ever. And they are so transformed that they want to say, let's stay here forever. Let's build 3 houses. Because we want to preserve this moment forever. One for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. That's when love comes down. God said, and then the problem is, and only Jesus is standing here, and God speaks. And he says, this is my son, my chosen. The other gospels say, my beloved, listen to me. And when the voice is spoken, Jesus was found on the moment. God is saying, you don't get it, guys, you don't get it, guys. You think that Moses, Elijah, and Jesus are all the same. No, no. Moses and Elijah are my brothers. Jesus is the same. Jesus. My presence. Jesus is my blood. Listen to him. Then they come down and they don't tell anybody about this until after the resurrection. And Jesus says, his face is Jerusalem. He'll wait when he knows it's going to come. And he has to go to this cross and complete what God has given him, the Father has given him. I love sin. I love mountaintop experiences. I've had a few of them in my life. I shared the one when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I was celebrating communion and I'm kneeling at the altar in Woodsville, Massachusetts. And I would have stayed there forever. Except I had to do the communion first. That was weird. I would have literally stayed there on my knees forever. That moment was a moment of ecstasy, a moment of peace, a moment of love, a moment of joy. Think about mountaintop experiences. Mountaintop is to get through that. And then you have to walk through the valleys. So God is in the valleys just like he's on the mountaintop. The scripture says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, hearing the meaning of the Lord. When we were sharing at 8 o'clock about these experiences and the births, we got a little, I'm all that afraid, but I talk about the miracle of birth, because it is a miracle. Those who experience it, those who know. It's awesome. How can you explain that out of a woman's womb comes this beautiful new person? And I said, I have an experience similar, but I was present at the birth of my last 2 children. And my first 2 children, his name was Matt, the man couldn't even go away. He was just outside the house, he was in the other person. But the other time I've had that experience, I had the privilege to be with a person who died a number of times. And by the time they breathed their last breath, I felt the same way that I felt when I was young. This is an amazing thing. That this soul is now passing from this mortal body. Be with our Heavenly Father in eternity. And you know, St. Francis of Assisi, the man who wrote that wonderful prayer, what are the means for one of the needs? What's that beautiful line? We're missing dying, but we are born. Autopsy. It gave Peter, James, and John something to hold on to when Jesus was on the cross. They probably weren't thinking about it. They remember this experience after the resurrection. They began to understand. There was a Christian pastor. You all know. But you don't know him principally, probably, as a Christian pastor. But you know him as a great leader. And he once said these words: "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountain. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I'd like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. He's allowed me to go up to the mountain and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any men. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Of course, that was preached by Martin Luther King. Memphis, New York, a community success. My hope, dream, and prayer for you, good saints and equal saint leaders, is that you will have many mountain tops in your life. And that you will hear God's words to you, saying, "This is my beloved, my chosen. Listen to each other. Listen to me." My prayer for you is that you will be so transfigured by the presence and power of the